Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus Did It All For Me. You have to make this personal. Jesus, say that with me. Jesus did it all for me. Oh, yes, he did. As you can see in that little photo, he went around healing, delivering, casting out demons, setting people free. He came to give us abundant life. He came to what? To save us. To save us from our sin. Praise God. So, let's read the scriptures, and let's ask God to have his way this morning. Amen? And it reads, now on the first day of the week, we're in Luke 24, 1 through 9, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Verse 3, then and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Verse 5, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Verse 6, he is not here. Say that with me. He is not here, but is risen. Come on. He's risen. And remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest of them all. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to show you a couple of photos just in a moment. But there have been great and wonderful prominent men throughout history. Some of them they have idolized. Some of them they have worshipped. And this country that I believe an enemy to the United States. Right? Always been our enemy. Well, they had a great president, according to them. How many remember the guy named Lenin? Okay? Lenin. So what they have done with him is they have petrified his body. And they have a museum where people today can still see him in his dead state in a museum. It's right up here, look. So they walk into this place, they surround it, and they some worship it, some say he was a great mighty man. But I'm here to let you know, his bones are still there. And we all know if he didn't know Christ, where his soul went. You see, my friends, in Russia, people can still visit. His corpse is encased in an airtight glass casing. In his life, I need you to hear this, he caused a bloody revolution. He enslaved his people and shattered his followers. And leaving without any hope. Now, in contrast to this, we look at this right up here. The Garden Tomb. How many been to the Garden Tomb? Come on. If you haven't been to Israel, you need to go. So this is the Garden Tomb. And notice the stone has been rolled away. And when you go to the Garden Tomb, you actually go inside. And this is what it looks like inside. And can you read what's on that door? What does it say, if you could read it? He is not here. He is risen. So I'm here to let you know, characters like Lenin, we just saw, Confucius, you know, all these prominent kings, the Caesars, the Pharaohs, history, all these great prominent men that once ruled the earth. I'm here to let you know that their bones are still in the grave. Their flesh may be already deteriorated, but they're still in their grave. Jesus is the only one, hallelujah, that rose again. Jesus began a revolution of salvation that freed his followers from sin. So he had a whole different revolution. And that was to come to set the captives free. And so what a difference between the two tombs. Them. Had a message of gloom and despair, but Jesus Christ had a message of eternal hope. Can I get an amen? Jesus repeatedly told his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem. He had to go there and suffer many things, especially from the religious leaders. Now, I'm here to let you know, Jesus loved the sinner. Jesus ministered to the common people, but the one people that he had an ought with, there was a group of people that he had to confront, and those were the religious leaders. He called the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, some of those prominent rabbis back then. He said that they were a bunch of vipers. He also told them that you guys are whitewashed tombs. And then he said the ultimate thing that gave revelation. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Wow. You see, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they had the Torah. They had the Old Testament scriptures. But yet, when Jesus finally fulfilled them before their eyes, they were walking in unbelief. They did not accept that this carpenter's son would rise up to be the Messiah. You see, they didn't have a clue how God was going to overshadow Mary and that she would conceive from the Holy Spirit the Son of God. So because they didn't believe that, they opposed Jesus in every form and fashion. All the miracles he did, he fed the 5,000, he healed the blind, he raised the dead. He did all these things that no one has ever done in the history of mankind, and yet that wasn't enough for them to believe. You and I, we never saw any of those miracles. We never touched the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in faith, God showed up. Can I get an amen? Amen. We are gracious children. We're here by God's grace. Blessed is he who has not seen but has believed in the only name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus repeatedly told his disciples that he had to go. Things from the religious leaders and be killed, but on the third day he would be raised up. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's only one power, and that's the Holy Ghost power that can raise the dead. Can I get an amen? And so let's look at Matthew right up here. Matthew 16:21. From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. So the scriptures identify and us the plot and the plan of these evil men. But God was in the midst of it. Let me just say this. Those of us who God called out of darkness into his marvelous light, you guys remember the day you guys used to run with the best of them. You remember the day the folks we hung out with and we did those things that were unthinkable. Yet, God had a plan. This lets me know that God is so patient. He's long-suffering with mankind. And even though he had to be persecuted, he had to face the religious leaders, the whole time that he was pressing through, he had you and me in mind. Because 2,000 years later, we're here because of him. Amen? So it all came to pass just as he said. And today, saints, we know the events of the resurrection. We celebrate Easter. You know, we celebrate that. But there are deeper messages beyond what happened that day. And we need to dive in. We need to get the meaning of why he rose again. Because if he did not rise again, we would be men and women most miserable today. We would just have a religion. We wouldn't have a supernatural, realistic faith that you and I are here today because of that faith. And so, the first message is that Christ is alive. Can I get amen? How many believe he's alive? Alive. He's alive forevermore. And because we know he's alive, he lives in our heart. The Holy Spirit lives in our heart. And all three are one. Can I get amen? Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three are one. Thank you, Jesus. So he lives in our hearts. And the book of Hebrews explains this. Let's go there right now. Look at this. In Hebrews 10, 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. So what he did, when he shed that blood, the blood and the water on the cross, I need you to catch this. That blood was then poured on the mercy seat. I need you to catch this. It was poured on the mercy seat. Because in the Old Testament, they would bring in the bulls and the goats and the turtle doves. So the high priest would have to sacrifice them. Then they took the blood. Then they had to go behind the curtain where the Holy of Holies was. And then they would have to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat for the people. Hallelujah. But Jesus, hallelujah, once and for all, his blood, hallelujah, was splattered on the mercy seat for you and I. Thank you, God. How many are so blessed to know that? And when he did that, it was done. And so now, we didn't have... Listen, do you see any turtle doves and goats and what have you, lambs coming in here? No. You come in here once and for all. If you don't know Christ, you surrender by faith. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. That's all it takes. It doesn't take all this religious jargon that these religious leaders were having a hard time with. The gospel is simple, that even a child cannot err in it. You know that children believe a lot faster than us adults? Because they walk in trustfulness. They trust. They trust us elders, the older the people, the parents, their aunts, their uncles, their cousins that are older. They trust them. They could be naive at times, but they trust them. And the gospel is that simple. So, let me ask this. But what is Jesus doing in heaven? So, we just read, where is he? At the right hand of God. But what's he doing there? Just sitting there? Looking at the world, oh, I'm going to get that one today. see up there doing that? Oh, this is your last time. No. So you got to go deeper. You got to dig in. So guess what he's doing? He's interceding for us. What? He's praying for you and I. He's saying, honeydew, you can make it. Yolanda, you can make it. Katarina, he's praying for you. You can make it. The home buckets, he's praying for you. You can make it. Every one of us in here, he's praying for us. You can make it. The Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail. So God's going to see us through. The plan he has in place for you and I, he's going to see us through. And there's no way we can fumble it. Well, where does it say that, preacher? Right up here in Hebrews. Therefore, he is what? Also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make what? Intercession for them. He's interceding. He's praying. This is why when the funds get low, you have these health issues. You have children that maybe you raised up and then they went amok. And now they're living in disobedient lives. They're out of the house and they're living their own life that's contrary to the Word of God. I need you to understand that Jesus is praying for them. He's praying for us. Why is he praying for them? Because we're praying for them. And he knows how important they are to us. And you are so important. Also, number two, he's our advocate. Hallelujah. For those of you that don't know what an advocate is, it means an attorney. So, when the devil tries to bring accusation against you, did you know that in the book of Job, Satan has access to heaven? He goes to and fro. He goes, hey, wait a minute. That one right there, you have blessed his life. He goes, he's only blessed because you bless his life. So God said to Satan, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm going to let you touch his life, but you can't kill him. Man, he couldn't wait for that. He went and touched his life. He lost children. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. But he didn't kill him. And then God showed up. And everything that Job lost, he got tenfold for it. And here's the key for this. I need you to catch this. How did Job become blessed again? He prayed for his friends. Have you been praying for your friends? Have you been praying for your family? Have you been praying for those on your job? Or when your boss, when your boss leaves the room, are you throwing darts at the door? Are you praying? Are you saying, God, have mercy? Well, let me just show this scripture right up here. In 1 John 2:1, look at this. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. And who's the advocate? Jesus, the righteous. So now you have a holy God. There's no sin in him. So what he does, if this was you right here, he stands in front and he covers you. So when his father looks down, he doesn't see your sin. He sees the blood. Can I get an amen? Listen. We are not going to live a perfect life down here. We're not called to be perfect. Can I get an amen? We're called to be saved. And you can let unbelievers know this. Yeah, I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect. But God saved me. God saved me. And he took away all my sins. Praise God. Isn't it a blessing to know that whatever you committed in the past, as a believer now, whatever you committed in the past, whatever you've done present, and what you're about to commit, he's got you covered. He's got you covered. For me, 34 years walking with him. My 34 years wasn't a perfect pastor or brother in Christ. No, I've made a lot of mistakes through it all. But he's the one that's kept me. He's the one that has strengthened me. He's the one that will renew us. He's the one that says, that's okay, I got that. Now keep following me. He says, pick up your cross and follow me. You can't go back and undo what you've done, what you've said. He goes, give it to me. I'm dealing with that right now. Now move ahead. Yeah. See, we get stuck like a washer machine that gets stuck in the cycle. You ever seen a washer machine? Sometimes you have to stop it, and then you have to rearrange the clothes and close the lid, and then it'll complete. Some of us are in stuck mode. We do the same sometimes sin, and we don't know why, but I'm here to let you know that God will help us. God will strengthen you. God will show you exactly what you need to do to be set free from it. And then you could continue to have the life he's called you to have. Saints, an advocate is one who pleads the cause of another. Our Savior represents us to the Father as he continually intercedes for us. Wow. That's what he's doing right now. So let's look at this third point right here. He's preparing a place for us in his Father's house. What? Listen, I've been on these big tours in my real estate years, you know, where about 40 agents, we would go to Rancho Santa Fe. We have permission to look at all the multi-million dollar homes. Some homes are 40 million. They have amenities galore. They got horse stables, basketball courts, movie theaters. They got swimming pools that are from the outside, and they continue to go inside the home. They got 80-inch flat-screen TVs, even in the toilets. They have everything. But I'm here to let you know, eventually, termites will come upon that house. The plumbing will break. Right? It'll need painting. It'll need deferred maintenance. It'll need those things. I'm here to let you know, the house that God has built, hallelujah, will never erode. It'll never be destroyed. Can I get an amen? Because it's not built by men's hands. Anything we build down here is only but, it's temporal. But my brother knows, he pours concrete over here. That's because that driveway cracked up. So you're going to have to bust it out and pour a new slab. Things break, things wear and tear on this earth. But not the place he has prepared for us. And so you have to believe what God said. If he said it in his word, you got to take it home and say, God, you have a place for me. Can I get amen? It's right up here. John 14, look at this. In my Father's house are many mansions. What? If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he went to prepare a place for you. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, he went to prepare a place for you. And look at this. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, it's all about a relationship with him. It's all about having a true relationship with him. If you have a true relationship with him, he has prepared a place for you. Can I get an amen? You know, I was asked this question, and I did my best to answer it. But I had this one brother ask me, what does it mean when Jesus said, many will come to me in that day. They'll prophesy in my name. They'll cast out demons in my name. And they'll do miracles in my name. And then Jesus will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I need you to catch this. Who was he talking to? Was he talking to born-again believers? Or was he talking to religious folks? Because here's the thing. God is not like a man that could lie. The Bible's clear. God cannot lie. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the living God, the truth. So these people on judgment day, the white throne judgment, they're all going to be crying out, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you, worker of iniquity. Well, because God cannot lie, when he said, I never knew you, that means he's never entered into you before. You've never been born from above. You never had the second birth, which is being born again. Can I get an amen? I need you to catch this. Jesus told Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. You need to be born from above. And once you are born from above, he has put a seal on you. And guess what? No one here on this earth can unseal your salvation. Those weren't on my notes, but that's what God just gave me. Because there's religious folks throughout the land. Some of them joined the Sunday school. Some of them went to seminary. Some of them went to, you know, like, I'm going to pick this occupation, and so I'm going to go to this college to become clergy. And yet God never called them. And so they're just doing everything religiously. Those are the ones he's talking to. But the ones that know him, hallelujah, that love him, that have been born from above, that God has set free, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's you and I. Can I get amen? We are the church of the living God. This is not the church of the frozen. This is the church of the chosen. Oh, come on. Thank you, God. Let's look at our fourth point here. Look at this. He's living within every child of God through the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's living through us. I remember when I first got saved, it was joy unspeakable and full of glory. Till this day, I can't explain it, other than what the Scripture says. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I remember when Brother Steve got filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, "The booyah fell on me." Because he had no other words at that time to explain what it was. He had to come up with his own analogy because it was new to him. All I know is that he was a my goodness. Listen. Never go home without having the Holy Ghost come upon you. Can I get an amen? You see, this divine union is described in the book of John. Look at this. In John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." That's what he was telling those religious leaders. "I never knew you because I was never in you. But because he's in us, we're bearing much fruit." The worship team today was bearing much fruit. The Holy Spirit living in them. And so they're demonstrating what God has done. Hallelujah. They're singing the songs of praise and deliverance. Man, we serve a wonderful God. I hope you know that. Look at this, saints. The second message of the resurrection is that our sins have been forgiven and we're eternally secure in Christ. Listen, I had a problem one time. I'm not going to blast the church where I attended years ago, but they tried to convince me that I could lose my salvation. And so I would always hear these messages, and they weren't messages of hope. They were messages of condemnation. And if you couldn't meet this level of expectation according to their organization, you've missed the point. You've missed the mark. But until I started learning the Scriptures for myself, I said, "No, this is what you have said, but that's not what God has said." Can I get an amen? I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe what is written. Hallelujah. Oh, there's many Arminian type of doctrine. Arminians meaning that you can lose your salvation. Oh, you could be saved for 30 years, slip and fall, and then you're done. He'll throw you away. Yeah, I used to hear that. Oh, I don't know. Just ball you up and throw you away. Really? I kept saying to myself, listening to these messages, I go, "I could never meet this expectation. I could never meet this. Even on my best day." And then it came to me. Performance religion. It's about having a relationship with the living God. Oh, I got some scripture to back this. I'll fight you left and right. I've seen some debates, Arminians against those born again that believe you are sealed until the day of redemption. One side doesn't even make sense. They're fighting a losing battle with God. Listen, we need not fear that how sin condemns us. Because we're all going to fall short. Come on. When someone cuts you off on the freeway, I know some of you are like, And you may not have given them the high salute. But you thought about it. We're going to fall short. We're always falling short. Oh, come on. Must have done that. Help us, God. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians. Look at this. Ephesians 1, 7 through 14. Say that with me. In Him. In who?
Jesus.
We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made, what? To abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will. It was all a mystery to us. The gospel was a mystery to us. Look at this. According to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. He purposed in Himself to come to save us, to show us His grace, to show us mercy. Move on. Verse 10, look at this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained a what?
Inheritance.
An inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Now, this is where you got to take this to the bank. Deposit it and know that it's in your bank. Right up here. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed. Say that with me. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is what? The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. To the praise of His glory. We are sealed. I want to ask this question. I need to ask this question right now. We live under the first heaven. Under the atmosphere, we live on this earth. It's called the first heaven. Where we have air, we breathe, we have water, food, provision. Then there's the second heaven. When you burst through the atmosphere, now you're with all the stars, moons, planets, and all that. And those are trillions and trillions and trillions of light years vast, where you would never get to another star or another solar system in 1,000 years, because we don't have the means to get there. Now, the third heaven is above that second heaven, and that's where God reigns. I need you to catch how vast He is, how big God is. So I'm asking you this question. How many of you could get to the third heaven and unseal someone's salvation? Please let me know. I'd like to go on that ride with you. We could roll together. You know how to get there? No. See, God proclaimed this in His Word. The Bible says His Word is forever settled. In other words, it cannot be amended. It cannot be canceled. We live in a cancel woke culture. His Word cannot be canceled. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Man, I'm telling you, God is so good. You see, Jesus paid the full penalty for our sin on the cross. But instead of eternal death, he appeared in heaven as our high priest. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Look at this in Hebrews 9:12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption for you and I. Can I get an amen? You know, I could barely jump from the floor or the ground, maybe 2 inches. But when I read these kind of scriptures, in my mind, I'm doing backflips. To know what he has in store for us. The fact that he rose from the dead is proof that the Father accepted his Son's sacrifice as the Lamb of God. As a result, saints, all who trust in him as Savior are eternally secure. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Here's another scripture that the Armenians, they have no answer. It's right up here. All that the Father, John 6:37, look at that. All that the Father gives me will come to me. One who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who has sent me. And then he went on to add this in John 6:39. Look at this. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing. What? So all of us in here, we've been given to Jesus. And Jesus has now places at the feet of his Father. He says, but look at this, that all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. No one. But should raise it up at the last day. That means when he comes for us, he's going to change us and we will be like him. Oh, that's right. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in that last day. How many so blessed to know that? You know, there are times you drive by a supermarket, you go to Rouse, Albertsons, you know, almost every one of them have a lotto machine in there, right? You know, and they got the little in colors all lit up. And sometimes it could get to almost $1 billion. That will appear so pale to the things that God has prepared for us. You can have all those billions. Go ahead. But you can't take it with you. You won't be able to take it with you. Nothing. Look at this. The third message of the resurrection is that believers will live forever. How many are already convinced? You're convinced in your mind, your heart, and your soul that you will live forever. Amen. Come on. You see, after Lazarus died, Jesus had a conversation with Martha, assuming her that her brother would live again. And look what Jesus, how he responded. You know, Jesus intently waited to go to see Lazarus. That was his friend. You know, back in the day, that was my homie. That's my road dog. No, he was close. Lazarus was close to Jesus. But he had gotten ill. And he was at the brink of death. And they came to Jesus. He was like 3 days away. They didn't have cars. He would have been there in hours, minutes. But he purposely waited for Lazarus to die. What? That's his fault. He could go over there and bind and rebuke the sickness, and he would be made whole. And so they came to Jesus and said, Lord, Lord. When he finally came, he was already 4 days in the tomb. Skin worms already were set in. They didn't have refrigeration. They wrapped them up in grave clothes and put them in a tomb. And they were all mourning. And some of them were saying, man, doesn't Jesus love him? Why didn't he not come? And so Martha and Mary both came to him. Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. I need you to catch this, because Jesus did the ultimate roundup. He rounded all of them up. He wanted them all there to see God do the most miraculous thing that mankind has ever seen. And that was the dead to be raised up to life. And he gave a picture of us. Because Lazarus, who died, that's us. We, before we came to Christ, we were spiritually dead. I hope you know that. We were dead. We were physically alive. Yeah. Yeah, man. What's that next party, man? Can't wait to get to that next party. But spiritually, we were dead. We were dead. And then when Jesus came, we came alive. Everything came alive. And so they said, Jesus told Martha and Mary, he's going to rise again. And they said, yeah, we know, God. In the resurrection, he will rise again. And so Jesus had to tell them this right up here. Look at this. We're going there right now. Jesus, in John 11, 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I'm asking the question to all of us in here. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And so we all know the story. We all know the story. He said, where have you laid him? But Lord, he's in his tomb. And then he told them, take away the stone. And he said, they all said to him, but Lord, he stinketh by now. I'm here to let you know, I don't care how dead your situation is. I don't care if your finances say only $5 in your bank account. I don't care that if you have kids that are running amok. Jesus is telling us to take away the stone. What is the stone? The stone is doubt and unbelief. We need to believe everything that God has said in his word about what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's about to do. You see, my friends, this may seem like a contradiction, but Jesus was referring to two kinds of death. Believers, physical death is a door to heaven. I need you to catch that. How many of you have had loved ones already passed on, and they were believers that opened the door? They're in heaven now. Can I get an amen? Some of us, if should the Lord tarry, many of our bodies will go to the grave as well. While we pass into the presence. Can I get an amen? Because we have hope in the Word. The Word tells us that. Right up here. 2 Corinthians 5, 6. Look at this. So we are always what? Confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Meaning, as soon as this body terminates, we will be in the presence of the Lord. The soon as we close our eyes, the next time we open them, we'll be seeing Jesus face to face. You see, that's the only death we'll ever experience. In contrast, those who do not know the Lord die physically and spiritually, and they're cast into the lake of fire. Oh, yeah, I know. You know, there's always the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, there is a real place called hell. And God has saved us from that horrible place. How many are so blessed? You know, go back to your BC years. Go back when we was thugging and drugging and doing all kinds of stuff. Being disobedient. God did not allow us to die in our sin at that time. Can I get an amen? No. He goes, I got a plan for them. And they're going to come to me sooner than later. And we all came. Can I get an amen? We all came. Praise God. And the believers in Thessalonica were concerned about their dead loved ones who trusted Christ. But Paul reassured them right up in here. Look, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep means they have died physically. Lest you sorrows, others have no hope. I've been to some funerals. I had to do some funerals, many of them. And I've seen the loved ones that are left behind that don't know God. They're screaming in torment because their loved one has died. They have no hope. They have no hope. And so they're screaming in torment for the one that passed. And I'll never forget. The scene that I remember was there was a casket, and they put this guy, his favorite team was the Oakland Raiders. So they dressed him up in an Oakland Raider uniform. They had his helmet there, and they had all his homies were there, and they were screaming in torment because he was gone. I said, that was their only hope. Their only hope at that time was a party. They couldn't wait for football to roll around. I preached the gospel. I told them about Christ. And by the grace of God, I mean, the place that had like 200 people, half of them gave their hearts to Christ. When you have an opportunity even to pray with people that you know that don't know God right now, we were like that. That's an opportunity that God can save them. Don't let it get by you. Take up the opportunity that God gives us. Look at this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Wow. For the Lord, look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, when Jesus comes and finally brings the church home, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. It says right here, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, comfort one another. Comfort one another with these words. We're coming in for a close. I see some of you already are battling it. Don't worry. I won't blast you up here. Just wake up. The fourth message is our bodily resurrection. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The first one to be resurrected in a glorified body was Jesus. You remember the transfiguration? You remember when James and John went with Jesus to the mountaintop? Many believe that was Mount Hermon in Israel, the highest mountain. And he transfigured into this glowing light. I want you to know this. What they witnessed, they were eyewitness to this. I'm here to let you know that gives us hope. Because they saw a glimpse of what our bodies are going to look like. Glorified bodies. A body that will never die. A body that will never be sick. A body that will never perish. A body that will never have sin. Listen. The sinful thoughts in our mind will be gone. How many can't wait for that? Oh, come on. Some of us, you know, we could be all Christianese. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. In our mind, we're thinking of the worst. Help us, Jesus. I want that mind to be gone finally. That we would have thoughts like Jesus. There's no sin in him. Praise God. And so he was the first to have that glorified body. Look at this. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. And when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Death. That will be gone from the midst of us. You need to leave this place today with hope, knowing that when he finally comes for us, we will never die again. We don't have to worry about death. We'll receive bodies that will live forever. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, look at this. On this I say, brethren, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. That's why we need the new body. This body of flesh could never be in the third heaven. Matter of fact, we can't get there with this body. We need that glorified body. Where all we have to do is think it, and we're there. Remember when Jesus, he would appear and disappear. And you know what I loved about what I read? That body can still eat food too. Oh yeah, remember he was on the shore with his disciples before he was taken up? He had some Rubio fish sandwiches or something. Oh yeah. He had fish with them. He ate with them. Praise God. Man, I hope they have sushi up there. But we'll be able to eat too and enjoy those things. And you don't have to worry about late night eating pizza and have a horrible dream. Listen, I'm coming in for a close. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like what? Him. For we shall see him as he is. Come on, you got to know. If God said it, you know, I think there's a infomercial, set it and forget it. Man, you don't have to think about this no more. Look at that. We will be like him. Wow. Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. How many want to hear a little bit more? Listen, let me just say this. I'm going to just say it bluntly. We only get one shot at this on Sunday. Throughout the whole week, we're doing our thing. We might be involved in Bible study, whatever. But this is our last day of the week we come together and hear about God. So let's be long-suffering this morning. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher. Okay, the fifth message of the resurrection is going to be our eternal home. It's going to be our eternal home. Revelation, I'm going to go quickly now. But there shall be by no means enter into it that defiles. Meaning, flesh and blood like we live in, or any person that's defiled will never enter in. By there shall be no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. The day you gave your heart to Jesus, guess what happened? He wrote you into the Lamb's book of life. Your names are there. How many are so blessed to know that? The important thing about heaven is that God and Jesus are there. His Father, He's there. Body. You see, God is spirit, right? But Jesus, who is God, has a glorified body. That's why we can see Him now. And we'll be able to embrace Him. Hallelujah. What a blessing what He has done for us. Thank you, God. Look at this in Revelation. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And how long is forever? Is there any contingencies in here? It's contingent upon you being a good person. Keeping all the commandments. No sin in your life. They shall reign forever and ever. Our last point. And then you guys could go home and take a nap. The sixth message of the resurrection is that because Christ rose from the dead, we can face each other tomorrow with assurance and perfect peace. Amen. Perfect peace. How many love King David? See, let me just say this. Jesus now indwells in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we never walk through valleys alone anymore. Never again, while we're on earth, will we go through dark valleys by ourselves. He will be with us. He's there to strengthen, guard, guide, and cheer us along the way. He's going, you can make it. Come on. You can make it. I'm here waiting for you. You can make it. Watch what I do to this demon that's harassing you. Flick. I will put my angels in your home. Hallelujah. He will guard your life. He will subdue your enemies. And some of us got a lot of enemies. But this is a time to be at peace with them. Can I get an amen? Bible says, be at peace with all men. Because Jesus was at peace with all them. So I'm going to close with this last verse of scripture. King David, he wrote it best. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Man, did God restore your soul? Yes. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now we have a new path in life. We are walking in the path of righteousness. Yes. We're not walking in the devil's path no more. We're not in his camp no more. We're not dancing with the devil no more. Hallelujah. We're in the other camp, dancing with the Holy Ghost. You can sing songs like this. The devil thought he had me, but I got away. Yeah. His plan was to destroy you. But God said, not so. Look at this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How many believe that God is with you? Your rod and your staff comfort me. The Holy Spirit comforts us. He lets you know at midnight hour it's going to be all right. I will deliver you. I will heal you. I'll watch over you. I would uphold you. Look at this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Look at this. I needed to catch this. Some of us, when we got saved, some of us did what God told us to do. We had to cut away certain people in our life that were no longer, they're not saved. But there's still, I need you to catch this. There's still a table prepared. When they come into your life, you will now give them hope. You're going to give those enemies to the cross. They're not enemies to you no more. They're enemies to the cross. But now, let them come to the table and give them hope. The hope of glory. The hope of eternal life. They need to know what God has done for you and what He's about to do. Look at this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. What? For just a short period of time? No, I'll kick you out when you sin. Forever. There's no contingencies in heaven. Your name is forever settled in heaven. And when you got saved, your name was shouted out from the bowels of heaven. Your name was shouted out. And they were rejoicing. There was a party in heaven that my daughter, my son, just repented and gave their heart to Jesus. Come on. Heaven had a party when you got saved. And now they're waiting patiently when we all arrive. Some of us may get there sooner than others, or we may all get there in one clump. Don't matter. We're going to be there. That's all that matters. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done for each and every one of us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for saving us. None of us deserve this awesome and great salvation. None of us deserve it. But you chose to do it anyways, because you have a plan for for your people. And I'm praying right now for those who are logged in. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. Maybe it's time now that God has been tugging at your heart. He's a gentle Savior. He doesn't pull you by your ears or your hair. He says, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, come unto me, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Some of you need rest for your soul. Some of you have tried what this world has offered you, and you always find yourself at a dead end. Nothing satisfies you anymore. The drugs, the alcohol, the loose living. Or maybe you're just so morally perfect, you're still miserable. But I'm here to let you know, God has a mighty plan for you. He wants to save you. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit, and you will be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If that is you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that maybe, just maybe, you'll give your heart to the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Oh, come on. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the